Yes, I've worn those damn fishnets myself for days on end. With a sardonic smile, Pascal said, And if you found it uncomfortable, Ursula, how long do you think Sheena would wear one? How long do you need? Grant asked. As long as I can get, of course. Nodding, Grant amended, I mean, what's the minimum time you'd settle for? She thought a moment. 10 minutes? 15? Half an hour would be excellent. Would you need any special equipment in her pen while she was wearing the headgear? Again, the shrug. Oh, the recording receiver needn't be in the pen with the beast. It can be outside in the corridor. How far away? Grant asked. 10 meters? 15? Okay, Grant said. Bring the console into the area tomorrow. Just leave it in the corridor without plugging it in. But it's useless unless Sheena wears the net on her head. I understand. The first step, though, is to get her to accept the recording equipment and not see it as a threat. Oh-ho, Karlstad said. Our gorilla dating scooter is turning into a primate psychologist. Grant smiled at him. Play your cards right, Egon, and I'll get you a date with Sheena. Karlstad held up his hands in mock terror. No, I can do without that. Van Neumann smirked at him. Come on, Egon. This might be your only chance to get laid for months to come. Grant and the others laughed. Karlstad frowned unhappily. Every evening, Grant brought presents to Sheena. A simple wooden jigsaw puzzle of 4 pieces, big enough for the gorilla's thick fingers to handle, a spongy Nerf ball, and a Velcro target that Grant glued to the wall of her pen so she could practice throwing, flashcards showing numbers up to 10 in the letters of the English alphabet. And with every new toy he brought, Grant also carried a few fruits or hard candies that Sheena immediately crunched in her powerful jaws and slurped down, licking her lips noisily and asking for more. Sheena had the run of the aquarium section, which was sealed off with pressure hatches from the rest of the station. Usually Grant found the gorilla prowling the narrow corridor of the aquarium area, was sitting quietly on her haunches, staring with endless fascination at the fish and dolphins. After only a few nights of visiting, Grant found the gorilla waiting eagerly for him at the hatch he always came through. He soon found himself throwing an arm around Sheena's thick neck and hugging her, hoping that she would restrain herself and not crack his ribs as she hugged him back, desperately praying that neither Karlstad nor any of his other human friends saw him being affectionate with her. The thought startled him. I said it, he realized. I said human friends. For the love of living God, I'm thinking of this animal as a friend. He was sitting on the floor of the corridor, tossing the Nerf ball back and forth to Sheena. The gorilla sat ponderously a few meters away, letting the ball bounce off her chest before she smothered it in her huge hands and then threw it, left-handed, Grant noticed, back to him. Good throw, Sheena, Grant called as he caught the ball. You're getting better every night.
Good throw,
the gorilla said back to him in her labored, rasping voice. She is a friend, Grant told himself. Like a child, a little niece or some kid who lives up the street from you. They tossed the ball back and forth until the overhead lights dimmed to their nighttime setting. Time for bed, Sheena, Grant said, clambering slowly to his feet. The gorilla got up on all fours and turned ponderously toward her pen, walking slowly on her knuckles. She was so big that Grant had to follow her. There was no room in the narrow corridor to walk beside her. She never argues about bedtime, he thought. With an inward smile, he realized that Sheena was better behaved than most of the human children he'd known back on Earth. Pascal and her assistants had finally moved the recording equipment into the corridor a few meters from Sheena's pen, Grant saw. Awfully close to her pen, he thought. Maybe too close for comfort. The gorilla stopped at the open doorway of her pen, stared hard at the blocky gray metal console, then turned back toward Grant. It's all right, Sheena, he said. Just some equipment from the neuro lab. It won't hurt you. Nothing to worry about. He knew she couldn't understand all his words, but hoped that his tone would reassure her. Sheena shuffled up to the inert machine, sniffed at the blocky metal console suspiciously, patted it with both hands, then abruptly slapped it hard enough to rock it slightly off its locked wheels.
"No, no!"
Grant exclaimed, rushing up to her, wondering how much punishment the solid-state electronics could take. Sheena turned to him again. It was impossible to read an expression on her face, but Grant thought he saw something in her eyes. Puzzlement? Worry? Fear? "It's all right, Sheena," he repeated. "Nothing to worry about."
"Bad,"
Sheena rasped.
"Bad!"
And she pushed at the console. "No, it's not bad. Don't be frightened of it. It won't hurt you." She sat down heavily and turned her head from Grant to the silent electronic equipment and back to Grant again.
"Why?"
she asked. Grant forced a smile. "We need to see how your brain works, Sheena. That's all."
"No,"
the gorilla said firmly.
"Bad thing."
Grant instinctively reached out and rubbed Sheena's thickly boned head. "I won't let anybody hurt you, Sheena. I just won't let them."
"Grant, friend."
"Yes," he said, nodding. "I'm your friend. I won't let them hurt you, not ever." The gorilla seemed to think this over for a few moments. Then she asked,
"Why you?"
"I'm your friend, Sheena," Grant said again.
"Not me."
Grant didn't understand what she meant.
"Grant, not me,"
Sheena rasped. "I'm Grant, yes, and you're Sheena."
"Grant, not me."
"What is she trying to tell me?" he wondered.
"Lane, not me."
It struck Grant like a thunderclap. She realizes that the humans are different from her.
"Fish, not me,"
Sheena added, pointing a long, powerful arm toward the aquarium tanks. "You're..." Grant hesitated. "How do I answer her?" He took a deep breath, then said, "You are Sheena. Sheena is big. Sheena is strong."
"No like me."
"That's right, Sheena. Nobody else is like you. You're the only gorilla within a half a billion kilometers."
"Why no like me?"
"I wish I could explain it to you, Sheena," Grant said, his eyes misting. "I really wish I could." Intelligence. "It's official," Muzorawa said. "We go in 30 days. He had dropped into the fluid dynamics lab, he'd said, to check on Grant's progress with the ocean mapping work. Grant was glad to see him. Muzorawa had been spending almost all his time training for the deep mission, and Grant found he'd missed the Sudanese dynamicist's strong, calm companionship. 30 days, he said. Muzorawa nodded solemnly. "I don't suppose I'll see much of you between now and then. Woe is putting us in quarantine." "Quarantine? For security," he says. "None of the crew will be allowed to take meals in the cafeteria. They're setting up one of the conference rooms to serve as a wardroom for us." "I won't see you at all then," Grant said. Muzorawa flashed his warm smile. "I'll drop in on you now and then, but I won't be able to work with you very much." "You'll be busy, I know. This mapping work you've done, it will be a big help, a very big help." "I hope so." Grant was sitting at a computer desk that the technicians had rigged with a holographic screen so that he could view the ocean currents in three dimensions. The imagery was in garish, false colors, electric blues and fire engine reds, to make it easier to visualize the swirling, turbulent flows streaming through the ocean. Still, Grant found that he had to sit at precisely the right spot and hold his head at just the proper angle to get the three-dimensional effect. From the seat beside him, Muzorawa asked, "So, do you have anything new to show me?" "I think, maybe." Grant picked up the headset he'd left on the desktop and called for his latest graph. The holographic view winked out, replaced by a flat diagram of undulating curves sprinkled with a hail of red data points. "Buckshot pattern," Muzorawa muttered. "Not exactly," said Grant. Tracing one of the curves with an extended finger, he explained, "If you integrate all the data points by time, you get what looks like a periodicity." Muzorawa sat up straighter. period.